Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3-year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour of Coach podcast, where we bring you the best mental coaches, fitness experts, teachers, players, everything from my journey in the game of golf to help you learn to play better golf, teach better golf, and enjoy the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun.
All right. Joining me here on the Tour Coach, he's one of the longest running guests on this podcast and way back from the radio days. Here on the Dew Sweepers, my good friend from out in the ghetto in California, in SoCal, Brady Riggs. What are you doing, bud?
You know, I'm at my public joint I teach at. I have a public, a private, and I'm down in the desert, you know, at PGA West in La Quinta. So this is my public spot. I'm wearing T-shirt and shorts as usual. This is the attire, mandatory attire.
I love it.
So the valley's a little warm. We've got it about 95 today. I know it's not humid like it is back there, but, you know, I'm in the shade and just loving life, man. Birds are chirping. Slices are going straighter. What else could you do?
Well, that's what I'm here to talk about, a little bit fixing slices. And I told you before we went on the, you know, recording, I said, you know, hey, I did this with Peter Kessler a few weeks back and kind of rekindled. I said, you know, the early days of the radio for me, and you remember that all those days we've been doing this forever, was about just putting stuff out that helped recreational golfers. And I always go back to when I started that, one of my favorite shows on the Golf Channel, and when I started the interview with him, I said, was Golf Academy Live, which I thought was still to this day probably the best instructional thing they ever put on Golf Channel, because it was bringing great teachers up there, often with a guest and with a student, and just talking about helping people, you know, it was kind of what we started. And Ralph, who was my longtime partner on the radio show, was what we did with the radio. And I thought, you know, why don't we get back to doing that a little more, you know? And so a couple of weeks ago, Wayne and Jackson and I did How to Break 190. And obviously Golf Digest does some of this, but I thought, and a lot of people that listen to this are serious players, or why would they be driving around listening to you and I on a podcast they've downloaded? Or they're a teacher, obviously. We have a lot of teachers listening. But talk about breaking 80. Thought we'd come up with 10 things that you and I could talk about that would help people break 80. And, I mean, just kind of curious your thoughts on that. So when somebody comes to you, and I get them a lot, they're in that, what, 9 to 15 range, that where they feel like they're in striking distance and they can right. get there. And they say, you know, Brady, hey, my goal is to get where I'm consistently a single digit handicap. How to be a single digit handicap consistently? Where do you start with them? And what are some of the tips you get? Not tips, because I try to say I don't believe in tips. You and I know that, but like, where do you, what's the info we can give them to help them get there?
What a great question. So I think there's kind of a multi-pronged way to look at it. You know, first is, how are they spending their time away from the golf course?
Okay.
What's their practice look like? Are they organized? Are they working on things in a constructive way? Because, you know, most people have jobs and lives, and they've got to maximize that time to be a quality practice session versus quantity. So I want to see that. I want to see that they're doing short putts, you know, working sit from 9 feet and in. I want to see some speed stuff to minimize three putts. So putting wise, I want to see that. I want to see some vanilla chip shots in practice, just the basic ones. Doesn't have to go crazy with flop shots and whatnot. I want to see that those are under control. From the rough, some play around the green and some bunkers. Intermediate wedges, going out to getting to where your full swing practice has a combination of working on things to help you work on your contact, your start line, establishing a curve in your game, and then practicing with some stress. So that's kind of one bucket, you know, like how do they spend that time? And then I want to see some stuff on the course. You know, how are they doing with their strategy? You know, are they being intelligent about where they're aiming, what clubs they're choosing, where they're leaving shots, understanding where the right miss is, what their dispersions are so that they can kind of benefit from making a good choice on where to aim on the green rather than wherever the flag is, you know. And then we get into the technical stuff about mechanics of swing and whatnot. So those are the three basic, huge, broad strokes that I want to see kind of a three-pronged attack to make all of those effective. And then that should help the score come down. I'd say like the big thing with the full swing to me is I want to see a shot shape. You know, Tony, you and I talk about this all the time about, you know, you're a drawer and I was a fader. A couple of years ago, I decided to become a drawer too. I joined the party.
Hey, I'm starting to maybe go back a little to the fade. We just stay on opposite sides of the country. We just keep flip-flop.
That's it. That's why we get along so well. So, you know, I think establishing some shot shape that is predictable. You know, I don't care if it curves a lot or a little. I just want to know that you're going to have some predictable shot shape because it's easier to adjust that. You know, trying to move the ball both ways at that skill level is pretty difficult. You know, I don't mind seeing the short irons maybe have an ability to fight a crosswind to hold the green a little bit better. But basically, man, if you can hit something that you know is going to happen, you're on your way. You know, that's a big deal. And then, you know, when it comes to like the contact stuff, just making sure the bottom of the arc's in front. But I think each aspect, you know, you could probably do 30 things, right, on whether it's practice or on course strategy or mechanics of their techniques. But I think that's kind of how I would approach it. And then I'd see where they most efficient, see if I can improve that to get it at least up to a decent level. And then I'm a big believer, Tony, in not trying to make everything great, you know?
Yeah.
I think players that score well often avoid the areas that they're not very good at. You know, if you're not good at hitting 40 to 70 or 80 yard wedge shots, try to avoid those areas while you're working on becoming a complete player and stay out into a fuller wedge if you can. It's just easier for some people than hitting those intermediate wedge shots. I don't think you have to be great at everything. I just think you have to be really good at a few areas and then decent in the ones that you're not so good at. And if you can do that and double down on the things you do well, I think you can really organize your strategy to make that be sort of a place that you rely on and helps you score if you're really good in some area.
I want to touch on a couple of those because I loved all of them. But first one, the vanilla chip shots, right? I see lots of golfers in that area that we're talking about, and they, you know, they think that the key to becoming – a 5 handicap is the ability to get up and down from being short-sighted and stuff like that. And yet when I watch them on the golf course or I go, you know, to Old Palm, and you've obviously been there, you're going to be there in a month, and you put some balls down in front of like that first practice hole where it's a pretty vanilla, but like the shot you often get after two shots on a long par 4 or par 5, you've hit two pretty decent shots, maybe not quite as solid as you want. You're right in front. Vanilla chip shot 30, 40 feet straight up the hill, and they leave themselves 8, 10, 12 feet. And I think that they think it's the getting up and down from short sided. I mean, it's getting to where you get those up and down 80, 90% of the time is a huge, you know, is a huge, huge area. I think that's a big deal. And just like you talked about, devoting time to that and finding a club and a shot, even if it's not what the local tip du jour tells you, you should play that shot, but some club or shot that you can be proficient with most all the time.
Yep. I agree. I think that you and I focus on that area because they have so many of those shots. Mm-hmm. And that's an opportunity to get up and down where short-sighted with no green to work with. It's mm-hmm. not. That's an opportunity to make doubles. You'd rather make bogey from there. Mm-hmm. You know, and just on the pure numbers, like I've always thought eight greens to me was the number you had to get to be somebody who could consistently count on being in the 70s all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've played like I have, 20 rounds where I've hit it like crap and hit eight greens and shot under par. Those don't happen very often, but they can happen. But for the most part, if you hit eight greens, I figure like on those eight holes, you should definitely average somewhere about a half a shot under par. Mm-hmm. Not even one under, just 0.5 under. Just something a little teeny bit below par on the eight holes you hit. You got eight birdie putts. Maybe you three putt once and make a couple birdies, or you birdie once and don't three putt. Whatever that is, I'm a half a shot under par. I got 10 other holes now that I've got missed the green, right? So if I was on tour average, I'd get up and down half the time there, whether that's a putt from the fringe or I hit it in the water. But I don't expect players to get up and down 5 out of 10 times. That's probably unrealistic. So if they can get up and down 3 times out of the 10, and those vanilla chips are so important to that. You know, now they're 7 over for the holes that they missed. They're 0.5 under for the holes that they hit. And we've got a spot now that they're 6.5 over par, and that's a 78.5 on a lot of par 72s. And I don't think that that makes it complicated. Sure, you're going to have days where you make a couple doubles, and you probably shoot 81 or 82 doing that. And then you'll have other days where you make a few more birdies and get more up and down, and you'll shoot 74. But I think to get to that range, 8 greens in reg is a critical number. Minimize the three putts by being really good at some speed drills. And then get very good in those 9 foot and in putts so that when you are good at a vanilla chip, you leave yourself a lot of those putts. And you can make a fair share of those. And then I just don't think it's that tough if you've got the quality of ball striking to hit that many greens that you shouldn't have any problem breaking 80. I really think that's the number. I think 6 makes it tougher, and you know, 10 to me, if you're getting to 9 to 10, then you should be somewhere between 74 or 75 and lower.
Yeah.
If you can get to that number.
But I think all of the stuff you've talked about and that we, you know, I think that we would agree, like, they're all linked together. Like,
for sure.
Start.
Race the rudder. Raise the sails. Raise the sails.
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. Start converting your B2B audience today. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started today at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is 6 times distilled till it's just right, and naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything, from the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys. Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by 5th Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
If you develop a curve and a go-to driver, I think that's, you know, I watch most 8 handicap and above, and you watch them hit drivers on the range, and every driver, and you watch them on the course, it's the same speed, same going at it full, you know? And I was just, I walked 9 holes yesterday, 9 holes today at a Korn Ferry event. And I watched, you know, a couple guys I teach, and they played with guys that I don't teach, but watching them. And I mean, they're hitting different shots. They're trying to hit a specific shot off the tee instead of just making a swing and hitting it. Right. And I think that I think that, like you talked about, developing some sort of a go-to curve that may not be full speed, maybe tee lower, it may be a fade, it may be a big hook, whatever it is, it may be maybe your three wood, whatever it is, something that you can put in play on those four or five holes that maybe don't fit your eye.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You know, I mean, Rick Lamb was saying, I was asking him why he hit driver on this hole versus the other guys were hitting a three wood. And I thought this was great. He said, well, because other guys hit driving irons or whatever. And he said, well, because my miss with those clubs tends to be a pull. And that pull would bring that bunker in. My driver miss is to miss it to the left. He's a left-handed player. And that's a better angle if I miss the fairway, even if I'm not as good. Like having a curve, and then like you talked about, knowing how to think your way around the golf course and thinking about where your misses are, I think is one of the things that takes you from 6 greens to 10 greens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. You know? You just make everything easier for yourself, whether it's the tee shot, like you said. I mean, I feel like lower trajectory is a safer space. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody, right? So, like for me as a fader back in the day,
yeah,
player we both worked with on tour, who is now, I believe, selling either insurance or real estate.
Knew where you were going with this, real estate.
But let's just say when you're really good with the driver full speed, sometimes you don't need full speed, full power. You need straighter, you know. So as a fader, what I used to do with him, and then what I'd done with myself, is tee the driver down, you know. Mm-hmm. Tee that driver down. I can hit a driver off the ground straighter than I can hit it off the tee for sure.
Correct.
So I tee that thing down, and I'm able to hit a lower cut, safer, not going to fly into trouble if I have a tight hole, you know. As a drawer now, I put the ball back a little bit more in my stance, you know, and I hit more of I have a driving iron, a two iron. I like to hit that low with a draw.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm on a hole that's uncomfortable for me where I really need to hit the fairway, I'm going to pull one of those two shots out. Because I have a better chance of hitting the fairway. And when I hit the fairway, I got a better chance of hitting the green. Right. And that's just strategy. I don't want to be hitting driver every hole as hard as I can. That's foolish. You know, there's some holes I just have to hit the fairway or stay away from one side or the other. And that's what that gives me an opportunity to do. And then, like you said, I mean, a vast majority of players, except maybe on tour, miss short of the green, you know, whether they're 5 handicappers, 25, they're all short all the time. So usually the green's slightly elevated from being short of the green, right? So you've got a chip or a pitch now that you've got a lot of green to work with. The green's facing you. It's back to front sloping. It's a very basic chip or pitch shot that if you can fly the ball a distance that is consistent, 5, 10, 15, 20 yards with whatever club you're choosing, and it rolls a certain amount of distance on all those, if you can hit that consistently, you got a heck of a good chance to have a putt within 9 feet, which is where I spend most of my players' practice time, 9 feet and in, you know? So that just makes sense. I'm trying to give them more practice in the shots they're going to have more often, that they have a better chance to execute. So now they've hit the fairway because they chose something different off the tee in terms of trajectory. We're hitting a shot into the green where we've used our dispersion skills to make sure we aim correctly on the left or the right side of the green. And then if I don't hit it solid and I'm short, I've worked on that chip and pitch a lot. And then that's going to give me a putt that I've worked on a lot. I got a shot, you know, I've got a shot at scoring. But if you're working on flop shots, if you're a fader and you're trying to hit a sweeping draw with a driver, you're a fool, you know, you're just not, it's not going to help you. You know, it might look great one time, but that's not how you go around 18 holes of golf day in and day out.
Well, there's too many of the best players in the world that only curve it one direction. Obviously there's great players and best players in the world, you know, Tiger and, you know, guys, Scotty, they can hit it both ways and stuff like that. But I mean, there's great players that figured out how to get around only curving one way, and they can practice all the time. They hit balls every day. They're great athletes, great fundamentals and great golf swing. I mean, we're talking about people that are working for a living and trying to get where they're breaking 80, learn to curve it one direction all the time.
Hey, Tony, I was going to ask you. So you're out there all the time, right? PGA Tour, Korn Ferry. What are you seeing? What's the percentage of players that you see that hit it straight most of the time?
Few.
Still few, isn't it?
In fact, this is a great point and a great question. So Emilio Gonzalez, you've met Emilio in the years with me. Great player. I think he's destined to be one of the best players I've ever taught. Talent and just an all-around good human being as well. I felt like that, you know, he's a drawer, okay? And I felt like he's done so much good work on his golf swing that he got too neutral.
Mm.
And that his proximity wasn't great because he's setting up there. He still sets up there and aims for a draw. And he hits a straight ball.
Mm.
And I turned him loose yesterday and today to start hitting hooks and draws.
Right.
Like, get back to trying to draw it more. I thought his over time and trying to get a little less under and all of the stuff that we look for, his setup had gotten more neutral, almost fadish.
Mm.
And, you know, his hip pot, everything looked more like a guy trying to fade.
Interesting.
And went back. And then when I had him set up, and I said, drop your right foot back a little and move the ball back just a hair. Give me a little tilt. He felt like he was trying to hook this thing 50 yards around a tree. And when he looked at it on video, it looked pretty damn close to square, right? And I think that that's – but to your point, like, trying to hit it straight, I don't know is – I don't see many players do that. In fact, the point is, like, I gave a lesson today to a tour player to, like, get back to curving it, right? Like, that's not the way necessarily to hit it the closest. And there are a few guys out there that do try to hit it straight. I think, but the vast majority are trying to curve it because I think I think it makes the fairways twice as wide.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear like high quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby. Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry though, Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
I agree. And I think, too, like from a, and I know you did this with Lucas, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Lucas came back to you, you wanted him to turn it over more again because that's who he was. And it really helped him. And I think, you know, just to me, it's all about pictures. Like in your head, as you stand over a ball, you don't have TrackMan with you on a golf course in a tournament.
Yeah.
You don't have anything. You got you're naked right in front of the world out there.
Yeah.
You got to attach yourself to something that is, I'm going to hit this shot.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of feel to straight. Straight's like a mistake, you know. So there's a lot of feel to draw. There's a lot of feel to cut. You know, you got a feel of those. You stand over the ball. I want to feel like I'm trying to do something instead of trying to not do something.
I love that.
And I just believe, like, having a curve and attach yourself to a curve. We see it all the time with players. They hit it shitty off the tee, right? They're trying to hit, they block it into the crap off the tee. They're on a tee box, flat tee box, balls on a peg, can't hit the fairway. They hit it in the trees, they get this little window. Now they got to hit a low rising cut out of the trees, you know, and boom, there it is. You know, we saw Rory do it in the Masters this year in the final round. He couldn't hit the fairway with the driver, but put him in the trees with no shot. He'd have to go up through the craziest window and hit a draw. There it was. And that picture is so valid and so important. You gotta work yourself towards it.
Going to Rory, I'd love your comments on this because I think it goes to what we just said, and it's for guys trying to – or girls trying to play at a – you know, to get where they're in the sub-80 range. But when the heat got on and he was tight on the back nine, he 100% went back to slinging big hooks.
Absolutely.
Right?
100%.
He went back.
100%.
I mean, he went back to who he is and his DNA, and he was slinging that sumbitch. That iron, I mean, he hit into 15. I mean, that was bending.
And that was comfy. That was super comfortable, right? Like, that's in his wheelhouse. So I'm back on this. I hate to belabor this point, but I really think it's important. So like, you know, I'm working with Yanni, and I've been working with her for a while now, and she's doing great.
By the way, kudos on the success. That's not easy to do.
It's been a lot of fun. But I think what's really interesting, before we started, I did a lot of research on her swing because I'd never worked with her. And I brought up a bunch of swings when she was number one in the world. And, man, she was on the cut, you know. I mean, the club head was outside at P2. It was laid off at the top. It was even more laid off coming down, you know. That club was way behind her and kicking way out in front of her. Exit was, she's throwing the snot out of it on the way through left. It was great. Cut, 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 cut. That's who she was. She didn't even think about golf. And when we started working, I think I told you the story before. I said, okay, Yanni, hit a few shots for me. And she goes, what swing do you want to see? I'm like, well, I want to see the one that's sort of default, you know, just the one you don't think about. She goes, I've had 10 different coaches at least. I have 10 different swings. Tell me which one. And so I said, well, that's a problem, you know, right there. And then she hit a few shots, and the club head was inside it in the takeaway. It was across at the top. It was steep in transition. You know, and after we talked for a while, she's like, I've been all these coaches that are trying to have me hit high draws. And I said, but weren't you number one in the world hitting a fade? And she goes, yeah. And I said, so look at it this way. You achieved number one in the world. You won 5 majors, okay, early in your career, more at the same age than Tiger had at that point. And you were fading it, right? And then somewhere along the way, somebody told you it was a good idea to hit high draw. Well, you know, as a fader, you were number one in the world, and you won 5 majors. As a drawer, I don't know if you could get your tour card. And you've proven that it's been hard for you to make a cut that way. I said, we got to go back in time. And I know we can't resurrect the exact swing because you're a different physical human being, but now she cuts everything. Now we're on the cut. We keep working. Every time I see her, I'm like, I want it fading more. I want more fade, you know? And now she's just feeling so much better about her golf. She doesn't think as much. She sees shots and she hits shots. She could hit driver off the ground or driver off her knees for years because the club was so far behind her on the downswing. And now she can drive her off the ground again. She can drive her off her knees. And to me, those are great signs that as a fader, you're up on top of the plane doing the things you want to be doing. But it's interesting, like reattaching her to the shot shape has brought her game back. Golf's easier again. And I just feel like, you know, you and I, because we're crazy and we experiment on ourselves all the time, we'll go out and change. I changed it for 2 years. I've been hitting a draw because I wanted to see if I could do it. It's been very educational for me, you know, as a player and helping me understand what I need to do as a teacher. But I'm not playing professionally, and I don't care what I shoot. The average person's trying to do something, break 80. Right. Man, find the thing that's easier. Let's ride that thing. And when you over-curve it, know in your game what that means, ball position or whatever you're doing to help it not over-curve. And if you're not curving it enough, find out what you need to do to curve it more. And if you can just stay in that space, man, you got a chance. You got a chance. Don't hit straight.
That is exactly what Scheffler did between 9 and 10 at the PGA. He understood his swing. He's curving it one way. It's starting a little more left. He knew how to correct that. And I think that's another part of becoming a single-digit handicap. It's like he's curving it one way, but developing an understanding of what your tendencies are and how you can self-correct those on the golf course.
Couldn't have said it better, man. That's so important, right? Because nobody I've ever seen in the history of golf has, in the first hole, put it right in the middle of the tee box, hit it exactly where they were looking, and played 18 holes like that, woke up the next day and did it again. That does not happen. And you've seen it because you're out there more than me. You know, great players adjust on the fly. And the ones that can change on the fly win major championships when the front nine sucked, just like Scotty did, right? The ones that can't adjust to the misses, miscuts. And I think, you know, just as a coach, I want my players to have the agency over their own game that they can adjust on the golf course, making the right change because they understand their own mechanics. And without that kind of knowledge, you're not going to travel well. Yeah. You know, you're going to go on a golf trip, and it could go south the first 9 holes, and for the next 4 days, you suck. But a person who can control their misses and understands their mistakes, they're playing better at the end of a golf trip and not worse. And that says something about you if you can do that.
Brady, this was awesome. We got to do this more. I like when we just sit around talking about, I mean, which is the same thing we do when you come down or if I'm out west. I mean, just talking, teaching, and helping regular folks play better. And I mean, that's what we did it for. And I mean, you know, I told it one of these young teachers that sent me a message the other day, and wanted to watch me, come watch me. Could I come watch you, observe you? And I said, come anytime you want. But I mean, you know, can I watch? I want to come when you teach tour players. I said, well, shit, you're not going to do that. I said, because first of all, you're not teaching them. Two, that's not why I started or how I did it. And that's still not what I do most of my day.
For sure. For sure. I mean, it's such a small percentage of time, right? I mean, compared to what you're doing.
And to wrap it up, like, too, because I love your last quote on this, was like, you know, the question, how do you get to teach tour players? Well, the way you get to teach tour players is you get to take people from shooting 80 to 70, and you get good at it, and then you get some high school kids that couldn't break 80, and you get them to shoot in the low 70s or break par and go to college, and then you get those college kids that weren't the best college kids, and you get them to be really good. And then you get one of those guys to play for a living, right? That's how you do it. It isn't walking out on a tee and being good and having some info and tour players start coming to you.
You're right, man. There's no secrets out there. I mean, you got to make, mm-hmm. you got to figure it out over a long period of time. That's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Brady lost it. We lost Brady, but that was some fantastic stuff. He's done he does an amazing job. Hope all of you enjoyed this, understanding how to become a single-digit handicap. We'll have more for you on the next episode of The Tour Coach.